in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our text today, a familiar one, may be a parable that Jesus made up, or it may be a real story of two real men that Jesus, in his divinity, knew about and can tell us the part that no man could otherwise see, the other side of death, of eternity. Nevertheless, it's one of the most important stories of all Scripture. This one helps us understand heaven and hell better than nearly any other text. But let's hone in especially on the difference between these two men and their relationship to us. Take note. In this world, our impulse desire is to be like this rich man, and we don't want to be like Lazarus. And I don't have to convince you of this, but just look around you where nearly every decision that we make with our time is based on how much it helps our bottom line. We work night and day to try to become more like this rich man and less like ever becoming like Lazarus. And here is Jesus, ready to surprise us. The surprise is this, that even before death, Lazarus was blessed and the rich man accursed. Before their death, these two men, they seem at first to be at least a bit morally neutral, where things have gone well for the rich man and poorly for Lazarus. Life strikes each person differently. Some are endowed with more wealth and health than others, and that may not be due to any particular weakness of the poor or any particular strength of the rich. It just happens. God gives more to some and less to others, and we rejoice that he's pleased to give anything to any of us. But it's after their death that the heart of the rich man is exposed and the true blessedness of Lazarus shines forth. The rich man in this life, he had it made, as any of us Americans would figure, feasted luxuriously every day. He had everything he could ever want. I mean, just imagine the first century mansion that this man would live in, with a closet full of the finest clothing, with many servants tending to his every desire. His friends and brothers probably clamoring to do favors for him just so that they could have a seat at his table. But Lazarus had nothing to offer the rich man, and so the rich man, following his unbelieving heart, had nothing to give Lazarus. Lazarus didn't even have the strength to do any favors for this rich man, to gain even a crumb that fell from the rich man's table. He was laid at the gate with his many sores. So this rich man, he has every comfort to sit back and relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But Lazarus was destitute. The only comfort this man had was a pack of dogs to lick his sores. In your imagination, you can even smell the difference, smelling the rich, lavish perfume aroma of this first century rich man's house, with the roasting meat and the spices just wafting from the kitchen, spread out dining table. And compare that with Lazarus, who probably smelled like death itself. But things change precisely when they die. At least the outer circumstances change, but on the inside, their hearts stay the same. In the heart, Lazarus started off blessed, and the rich man started off cursed. and then they died and they stayed in the same state. Lazarus still blessed, the other man still cursed. Nevertheless, they die and they go their separate ways. Lazarus to heaven, the other man, the rich man, to Hades. Another word simply for hell, no need to overthink it. And they both were always going to die. Lazarus, for his part, saw it coming, being reminded of the fact every day by his sores that were preaching to him that coming death as they get worse and worse. But the rich man never saw it coming. For we see in the conversation to come that he truly believed that there was no warning out there about death and hell. Indeed, Lazarus, he was exalted, and the rich man sent down to torment. Now, instead of Lazarus laid at the gate of the rich man was laid at the gate of Hades. Instead of Lazarus yearning to have even a crumb from the rich man's table, now the rich man yearned for even just a drop of water on the tongue. I almost struggle to call him anymore a rich man. We're not given any of his proper name, perhaps on purpose. This contrast between the two is real and it is stark. But we want to note one word that describes the rich man in hell that never described Lazarus on earth. And that word is torment. The rich man was in torment, anguish. Sure, if we're looking at Lazarus laid with his sores, that's how we might describe him, in torment and anguish. But the Holy Spirit never says that in the text. And in this is where we see the true difference between the blessedness of Lazarus and the cursedness of the rich man even before they died. Even while poor and hungry and aching with his sores, Lazarus was comforted by God. And the rich man, just like every hardened rich man, could never get enough money to comfort him. Spending all his life trying could never be described as truly blessed. So we want to hear this story correctly, that Jesus is not saying simply that having riches in and of itself is evil and poverty in and of itself is good. No, Jesus is contrasting two different kinds of riches. The riches on the one hand of the nice home, fancy food, lots of friends and honor in the community. That is to say, the riches of the world. But contrast that to the other kind of riches, that of Lazarus. He had the riches of Moses, the riches of the prophets. Lazarus had the riches of the Word, the promises of God. Lazarus had the assurance from God's own mouth that his sins were forgiven, that his lowly state was not the result of being in a wrong relationship with God. Lazarus, he truly had it made because he was justified by grace through faith. Like Abraham, he believed and it was counted to him, it was reckoned to him, declared to him, given to him, imputed to him as righteousness. He had the power of God for salvation and thus the power to patiently endure with hope. The rich man had that incredible treasury of gold and silver, but what of that? Lazarus, in the midst of the sores and the dogs, the crosses, he feasted on the scriptures. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He built for himself a storehouse of the treasures of heaven where moths don't eat and thieves cannot break in and steal. Nothing could take that hope away from him. Lazarus, even while poor, possessed the kingdom of heaven. Following after the words of Jesus, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything needful in life will be given to sustain you to the end. Lazarus binded unto himself the strong name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, carrying him through, never leaving him, never forsaking him. The rich man was cursed as he worshiped the food on his table and the wealth. Again, what of that? They were unable to save him from the fires of wrath against his sin. The rich man had everything, we might say, everything in life, everything of this world, but everything but Jesus. Lazarus, he had nothing but Jesus. The rich man in death lost everything, and Lazarus kept Jesus, or more proper to say, Jesus kept Lazarus from death through life, to life everlasting. The rich man may have cared about his brothers, but if you only love those who love you, what reward do you truly have? Don't even the worst sinners love those who love them? For a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still wallowing in the shame of the messes that we make of our lives, Christ died for us, the ungodly. While we were still sick with every kind of misery, while the world would look down upon us, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For truly, the sufferings of this present world are not worth comparing to the glory to come. And while you, dear blessed saints, suffer in this present world, truly, with Christ, you are blessed. Having been justified by Christ's blood, much more shall you be saved by him from the wrath to come. So Lazarus was never in torment, never in anguish. Lazarus was blessed. Even in his very name, Lazarus means God is my helper. And help God did. It might seem like God wasn't his helper before death, but that is a deceptive seeming. Truly, God was there all along, keeping his hand underneath Lazarus. So it is for you. You who are baptized and believe, look not at the things that you have to know whether or not God is pleased with you. Even in this life, you may have as little as Lazarus had. Nevertheless, you have also as much as Lazarus had, which is to say, Christ, who is your treasure, who is your joy, who is your peace, who is your life, who is your comfort, who is your glory forever and ever to all eternity, for Christ is your Savior. And to God be all the glory, and to us be all the comfort. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.